It's time now for Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Your Golden Years is sponsored by Fry's Family Pharmacy and all the independent pharmacists of the Rio Grande Valley. Golden Years. And now it's super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Golden Years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years with yours truly this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com and directly on my website at drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear tonight's show again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's DrMaraKarpel. And the link to the podcast will be posted right after the show. For more information from this show and updates about upcoming shows, go to drmarakarpel.com and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to advertise your business? Send me an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. Tonight's show was produced by Compass Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. Tonight's show is also sponsored by Live Oak Legacies, committed to helping families capture and preserve the stories, recipes, photographs, and relics held the most dear. Find out more at liveoaklegacies.com. And tonight's show is also sponsored by the Sandbox Inn of South Padre Island, located just one half a block from the Gulf of Mexico on beautiful South Padre Island, owned and operated by the world champion sand sculpture artist Lucinda Wieranga, known here as Sandy Feet. For more information, go to sandyfeet.com. And today is Sunday, March the 30th. This is show number 10 on Blog Talk Radio. And we are live on location this evening on beautiful tropical South Padre Island, broadcasting from the Sandbox Inn, which is spring break just ended. So things are a little calmer now. And we are, as I said, just a half a block from the beach, and this condo here is beautiful. It's one bedroom downstairs with a kitchen and a living room and a loft upstairs on the third floor. So downstairs is the second floor, and the loft is upstairs, and there are two balconies, two bathrooms, and this apartment sleeps six adults very comfortably. And downstairs is Sandy Feet, sand sculpture champion. And it is a beautiful evening here at the end of a gorgeous day. And for those of you down here tonight, musician, friend, and frequent guest artist on this show, Lisa Marshall will be playing at Laguna Bob's right here on South Padre Island right after the show at 7 p.m. So come on down. I plan to be there after I grab a bite to eat after the show, so you can find me there. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is the engineer for tonight's show, and he's being helped by Aaron Hartwell, who is here from South Padre Island. So they'll be working their magic to make the show run, and they'll be answering your calls if you call later with questions. So make them work. Give some calls. And good evening to both of you. So if this is the first time that you're tuning into this show has been on Live Local Radio in Austin, Texas on KJCE with 92 live shows for 2 years. And tonight is our 10th show here on Blog Talk Radio and the 10th two-hour show. And I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing in Austin and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers And for the past few years, I've also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And you can listen to the podcast of my shows from local Austin radio by going to my website, and I'll give you that web address again. RAKARPEL.com. Not a cartel, it's a carpel with a P. So this evening we have another great lineup of guests. Joining me in the first hour from Iowa is long-term care ombudsman of the Iowa Department of Aging, Kim Weaver. will be joining us to talk about this very important federally mandated program of senior advocates and about everything you need to know and what an ombudsman is, including what one might be able to do for you and your loved ones. Also in the first hour, I will be talking about when you may be having a bad day as a caregiver. And Erin Hartwell is here with me, and she'll be joining us in the second hour along with the founder and director of One Day on Earth, a very cool and unique worldwide media event that's happening very soon, Kyle Ruddick, who will be joining us from California to talk about how and when you might join in or observe this amazing event. And also in the second hour, jazz saxophone player Paul Clara of Manteca Beat will be joining us from Austin, Texas. Klemperer. I'll get it right by the time he comes on the show, Art, I promise. And throughout the show, I will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or my guests, please feel free to call. Toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or if you're too shy to call and to be heard on air, you can email or tweet me your questions, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is drmara@drmaracarpel.com, or my tweet mail address is MARAEK. So before we go to the first guest, Kim Weaver, I want to talk a little bit, a follow-up from last week's show. Last week, I had on the show Jenny Lear, who spoke about dementia. So I want to follow up with that, and I want to talk about being a caregiver of someone with dementia or with any issue that requires a caregiver. And this, I want to talk a little bit about when you're having a bad day as a caregiver. And this is based on a column that I wrote a few years ago for the Valley Morning Star, the newspaper in Harlingen, Texas. And some of the suggestions for coping were given by Williams and Kay in their book, The Caregiver's Manual. So I took a few of those and added a few of my own. So let's just say that you're the primary caregiver and you're having a bad day. Nothing seems to be going right. Now, you know that there have been other bad days, and you know that there will be more on their way. So how do you cope with the situation when there seems to be no end in sight? Well, here are some ideas. First, the first thing you need to do is take a time out. So you need to stop and take stock of the situation. Sit down, lie in the tub, go out in the yard, take a walk. And hey, if you're here on South Padre Island or any beach, take a walk on the beach. Do whatever feels the most comfortable and take a good, hard look at what is happening. The reality is that you are not superhuman. You are a loving, caring human being with many strengths, but you also have limitations. And it's time for you to take a time out. For you to continue to push when you're feeling this way is dangerous, not just for yourself, but for everyone around you. So it's really important that at this point in time you step back. And when you feel the beginning of desperation, you need to find a way to get some time to yourself. It doesn't have to be long, but you need to stop before you actually reach the point of desperation. The second thing that you need to keep in mind is you need to accept yourself. No one is perfect. All humans have flaws, weaknesses, and limitations, as well as strengths and good qualities. And all humans have many different emotions. So although these emotions can often be controlled to some degree, controlling an emotion is not the same as not having it in the first place. For example, there is nothing wrong with experiencing anger, frustration, jealousy, sadness, or any other negative emotion. You know, experiencing these emotions is just a natural part of being human. However, the real problem comes when you push these emotions deep down inside, or if you feel guilty about having them in the first place. So, well, you know, we all have these emotions. So we need to accept that we are human and that we will experience these emotions sometimes. And if we do that, then we can accept the flaws in other people more easily as well. The next step would be to write it down. Take a few minutes to write down the feelings that you've experienced in the last 48 hours. Name every one, the good, the bad, the ugly. And now try to make some complete sentences about each feeling. For example, I feel furious at blank because blank. I feel sad because blank. I feel good because blank. This is a time when you can be completely honest with yourself, because when you're finished writing all of this down, you're just going to destroy it. You're not going to show it to anybody. You're not going to keep it for your diary. You're just writing it down. And the point of this exercise is for you to become clearer about what and why you're feeling the way that you're feeling. So don't be afraid to write down everything. And as you write, remember that feelings are just feelings, and they're not always logical. In order to deal with them, you must first find out what they are and how they're affecting you. And, you know, writing them down on paper can actually help you do that. Writing often can help people discover what's causing the emotions as well. And it's important to try to be aware of the source of your feelings in addition to what the feelings are. And once you understand the source of your feelings, then the trick of expressing and releasing your feelings in a constructive way, or at least in a not harmful manner, is very important. So first you have to know what the feelings are. Then you need to figure out where they're coming from. They need to find a way of expressing them. So let's talk about different ways of coping with some of these negative emotions. For example, anger. So on a bad day, you may feel angry at the situation. You may feel angry at your family for not being more supportive. You may feel angry at yourself for not handling the situation the way that you think that you should. And anger may come from feeling frustrated or feeling lonely. It's important to understand that anger is a natural part of the situation, and it's a natural part of being human. Then you need to find a way to deal with it. So this may be, you may get some exercise and work out the anger, or maybe you can burn off the energy by planting a garden. So it's important to find a constructive way of getting out your anger, and this has the benefit of replacing this negative emotion with something positive. You might have thoughts about striking out at your family or your loved one for whom you're caring. You know, having this urge is not something to feel guilty about. The desire to strike out is normal, but it's extremely important, of course, to recognize it and stop it before you actually act on it. Recognize that the urge is a warning, the emotion is getting out of control, and at that point, you may need to seek some help from a professional, such as a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a counselor, a clergy member, whoever you feel comfortable with. Another way of getting some help with this is by joining a support group, which can be extremely beneficial in coping with this emotion especially. Discussing your feelings with other people, you know, will help you to gain some perspective and to come up with a plan to cope more effectively, especially talking to other people who have experienced or are experiencing the same thing. So another feeling that you may discover that you have is that of jealousy. And very often the underlying cause of anger is jealousy. So what are you jealous about? Well, your family and your friends were very supportive in the beginning, but now that you're settling into a routine, they may have gotten on with their own lives. And you may feel jealous of everyone else's freedom and the attention that your loved one is receiving. And it may seem that everyone else is living the good life while you're struggling along alone. So again, it may help to ask for help from family or from your friends at this time. This is also the time to take some time for yourself. And I know I have spoken about this before on other programs, how important it is for the caregiver to have time for themselves. One of the main causes of jealousy is having no time for yourself and nothing that brings you joy in your own life. And this can lead to the third negative emotion, which is depression. So, you know, your lifestyle changes dramatically when you're a caregiver. You've given up many things that you used to enjoy doing. Taking time for yourself again is necessary. Also, if your depression lingers, your effectiveness as a caregiver will diminish and your relationship with your loved one will deteriorate and your life will become increasingly difficult. So again, at this point, it's important to seek the help of a professional counselor or a support group. Now, another emotion that occurs very frequently in caregivers is that of frustration. There's an endless variety of situations that can frustrate a caregiver. Joining a caregiver support group, again, I keep talking about caregiver support groups because they really can be beneficial and can offer you an opportunity to safely vent your anger, your frustration, without being judged. And the other group members can offer suggestions and techniques to help you solve some of the problems that you're facing. It's important to remember that you are not alone in this and others are involved. Beyond this, you have a life of your own and relationships with other people. The important thing is the quality of time that you spend with other people. So you need to start spending time with some other people. 10 minutes of laughing with your spouse or child is far more therapeutic than an hour of arguing. More than this, you just need time to rest and recover, and you need time with other people. Sometimes the best time out is time spent with other members of family or your friends, and this gives you and them a sense of unity. If you withdraw socially from everyone in your life other than your caregiver, the person that you're caring for, you can increase your feelings of isolation, which leads to further depression. So one important thing to keep in mind, and I know that if they're a caregiver out there listening to this, they may be saying, how am I going to get quality time? How am I going to spend time with other people or take a time out when I have all of this responsibility? Well, it's very important to take advantage of respite services. There are respite services out there, people that you can hire for an hour or several hours, and there are people around who may be able to help you for free. You need to ask your friends, you need to ask your family members to help you, to give you a timeout. Focus on the positive. It's possible to think your way to new feelings, and here are 3 steps for doing this, and you can use your journal to help with this. Ask yourself how or what you're feeling, mad, sad, frustrated, etc., who or what is truly responsible for your for this feeling, and what are you telling yourself? Listen to what you're saying to yourself and write down those self-statements. There's a tendency to make statements to yourself that label a situation as terrible or horrible, and this will definitely cause feelings of sadness, frustration, or anger. And you need to ask yourself if these statements are really accurate. And you need to also decide what you can do now about the current situation, as well as what you can do the next time it comes up. In this way, you can try to form a plan, a solution, or to recognize that the situation is one that you have no control over and just has to be tolerated. If it's the latter, then recognizing that there is nothing to be done is the first step in accepting the situation as it is. So I always come back to the serenity prayer, having the courage to change the things that you can change, the serenity to accept the things that you can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And very often just saying that to yourself over and over again can be extremely powerful in helping you to deal with the situation at hand. So we're going to take a little break. And if we have some time later, I'm going to continue with a few more tips in how to deal with a bad day as a caregiver. If we don't have time today, then I will continue next week. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, long-term care ombudsman of the Iowa Department of Aging, Kim Weaver, will be here to talk about the Ombudsman Program, which is a federally mandated program of senior advocates, and it's extremely important. And we will be taking your calls, your tweets, your emails. Give a call toll-free at 855-345-4720, 855-345-4720. Or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpell.com. We'll be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now on the phone from Iowa, long-term care ombudsman of the Iowa Department of Aging, Kim Weaver is joining us to talk about this very important federally mandated program of senior advocates and about everything you need to know about what an ombudsman is, including one, what one might be able to do for you and your loved ones. And we're taking your calls with questions and comments. Call toll-free 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com, and I will read your question on the air. Welcome, Kim.
Hi. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's great having you. I just want to mention there is a little bit of a delay when we speak on the phone, so be prepared for that.
Okay. No problem. Not at all.
And I am broadcasting live on South Padre Island, and that was the last place, that was the place where I met you, on South Padre Island.
Yes, and it was beautiful weather, too. It was wonderful to actually meet you in person.
It was very nice meeting you, and the weather is beautiful here today. I don't know what it's doing up in Iowa. Is it snowing?
Thankfully not today. That doesn't mean it won't tomorrow. It's actually I think it's in the 60s today, which is practically a heat wave compared to what we've been having.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, kind of spring day. Looks like it might rain a little bit, but it's, hey, as long as it's not snow, I'm happy.
Yeah, definitely. So, Kim, when we spoke, I mentioned to you that my dad was in a skilled nursing facility for physical rehab recently for a short time, and there were some problems. He wasn't getting all of the care that he needed and all of the physical therapy that he needed. But as soon as my brother, who lives nearby, contacted the ombudsman for the facility, the long-term care ombudsman got and my dad started getting the therapies that he was supposed to. So I can see from personal experience how important your program is. So
thank you.
Maybe you
enjoy what we do.
And maybe you can let people know what an ombudsman is.
Sure. I'm going to back up just a little bit and give just a little bit of history of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. It was basically developed in 1965 with the Older Americans Act, and it's a federal act, and so all states are mandated to have a long-term care ombudsman program, and it came to fruition due to concerns about care and people in nursing homes and not assisted livings at that time because we really didn't have them, but not getting the representation that they really deserved, that there was some concerns with neglect and abuse in nursing homes at the time. And so the government and the people of the United States said, well, you know what, we need somebody who's going to be an advocate for these people. And we differ from, say, each state has a regulatory aspect. In Iowa, it's called the Department of Inspections and Appeals, and they're the ones that go in to say, are you breaking the rules? Are you following the rules? And if not, then they give them a fine. And I like to consider myself to be a solution facilitator. And so, you know, when somebody's having an issue, as you've mentioned, your dad was in for skilled care, and that's very common. Say somebody falls and breaks a hip or they break an arm and they need to go into skilled care for a short time and they have, you know, orders for different therapies. And maybe they're not getting those therapies. And, you know, skilled care is kind of a short-term sort of thing. And if you call the regulatory agency, they may not be able to get in there quickly. But we can generally get in there, at least I can, within 1 to 2 weeks. It varies depending on, you know, our caseload at the time. And every state's different. So please keep in mind that, you know, what I say is for Iowa isn't necessarily for every state. So maybe we can get in there a week to 2 weeks. Maybe somebody else can get in there the next day, but we can go in and we talk to the resident and we take direction from them based on what they would like us to do. And we can look at their care plan, discuss it with their care providers, and ask them, you know, what's the solution you want? And that's what we work for. We work for what the resident wants.
So then you can help to get those therapies put into place that are needed.
Definitely. We look at, you know, what is the care plan? And they're supposed to follow the care plan. And I have a lot of administrators that will call and ask me questions, and they respect my knowledge and they respect the fact I'm there to help the resident. I'm not there to point fingers. And so if, you know, the therapies aren't being done, then we need to find out why not, and they need to get going. So we've created a solution working with the resident and with the nursing facility.
Well, you know, and it seems like that was the experience that we had. It wasn't as though the facility was trying to keep the information from my brother about who the ombudsman was. In fact, they suggested that he call the ombudsman. So it seemed like a friendly relationship because they knew that he was going to solve the problem, not, as you said, put a fine on the facility.
Right. And I think that's one reason why a lot of people do like working with us, because we'll get a call and somebody will say, well, you know, my mom's having some issues with her services and we really don't want them to get in trouble or we don't want to cause problems. But sometimes we can go in and we can explain things as well. Oftentimes I'll even have a facility, have a relative call me to ask me a question. As an example, I had a gentleman call and say, you know, my mom falls out of bed a lot, but the facility told me they aren't allowed to strap her in bed. And they said I should call you.
Uh-huh.
Is this true? And I said, no, that is true. They can't do that. So because I'm an advocate for the resident and I don't work for the facility, I sometimes have a little more credibility with the family members. Mm-hmm. So facilities will say, well, you can call the ombudsman, or if you want information on your rights, please call the ombudsman, because they know that, like I said, we're here for solutions. We're here to find resolution. And I think facilities, especially in Iowa, realize that. And when my facilities call me, I always remind them, you know, I'm an advocate for the resident. So what the resident wants is what I'm going to advocate for. An example would be, you know, sometimes we have to advocate for things that maybe we don't think are in their best interest, such as say someone is a very severe diabetic, but they want to eat regular pie for dessert and they don't want Jell-O-free, you know, sugar-free Jell-O or whatever it is that the facility is, you know, providing as an option. Well, that's their choice. And so even if I don't think it's the best choice for them, it really doesn't matter. I go in to advocate for what they want.
Okay. So who specifically does a long-term care advocate help?
We work in Iowa, as I said, it can be different in different states, but every state you work for individuals who are living in nursing homes, assisted livings, or residential care facilities that primarily serve individuals over the age of 60. Now, some states work with home health or hospice, but those are additional services that states can choose to fund or not fund. And in Iowa, currently, we do nursing home, assisted living, residential care, and then we have a few what are called elder group homes. We only have, oh, I think 3 or 4 in the state, and I don't have any in my area, but we work with anybody that's living in those situations.
Okay. And you mentioned that the long-term care ombudsman, I'll get this right. The long-term care ombudsman program is federal, but
correct,
it's implemented differently in each state. Are there some parts of it that are standard throughout the country?
Well, it's mandated by the federal government that every state has to have a program, and their program is under the auspices of their state unit on aging. And some of them, in Iowa, for example, I'm a state employee, and we're located in the Department on Aging, which is our state unit on aging. In some states, well, I know like District of Columbia, they are operated by a nonprofit. I believe it's through the AARP. Don't quote me on that, but you know, so the where they are located can be different. But every single state, they need to advocate for individuals in the nursing homes, assisted living, residential care, and elder group homes. So if you reside in one of those types of facilities, regardless of where you live, the state long-term care ombudsman's office is charged with advocating for you.
Okay. So it might just might be a little bit different in a particular state.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot different. You know, the time frames might vary a little bit. As an example, the national average is one ombudsman for every 2,000 beds, or you know, nursing home beds, licensed beds. In Iowa, we're a little less staffed, and we're one ombudsman for approximately every 6,500 beds. So, if you live in a state where they cover fewer individuals per person, you might get a response more quickly. Whereas in mm-hmm. Iowa, we don't, you know, so they don't mandate how many people you have to have.
Right. So that's a big difference, the amount, the population.
And Iowa's so very rural, so we have to drive a lot.
Right. So it takes a long time to get from one facility to another, I would imagine.
It can. I cover normally 15 counties. Right now I'm covering 17. We had someone retire and we're in the process of hiring a new person. So I'm covering 17 counties, and my normal territory is just under 9,000 square miles and approximately 123 facilities.
Wow.
Yeah.
So... That's a lot of ground to cover.
It is. It is a lot of ground. Fortunately, I don't mind driving, except sometimes when we're having the blizzards. But we're on the road a lot, and we're in facilities a lot. We will go into facilities. The federal government likes to see us do what's called like a non-complaint visit. And they would like to see us in every single facility once every federal fiscal quarter. However, in Iowa, just due to the way we're structured, we can't do that. So a complaint, if I get a complaint called in, that will always take priority for me, and I will go do that first. But if someone sees an ombudsman in a facility, they don't just assume it's because there's a complaint. It may be just dropping in and dropping off some information on, you know, how to apply for Medicaid or the ombudsman program, or just walking around and talking to residents and seeing how things are going for them.
Okay. So now what can you tell people about what they need to know if they were in a nursing home? Are there specific issues that every nursing home resident needs to be aware of?
Well, one of the very first things I tell people, and usually it's kind of after the fact by the time I become involved, but before you go into a nursing home, read the admissions agreement or an assisted living. Make sure you read what you're signing. Make sure you know what you're agreeing to, because, you know, people will say, well, they increased my rate, or now they're making me pay for this, or they aren't allowing me to do this. And if it's in the agreement that you signed, then you kind of have to follow that. And so it's very, very important before you go to any situation that you read it. So if say you're looking around for an assisted living, or you're looking around for a nursing home, ask to have a copy of their admissions agreement, or their, in Iowa we call them occupancy agreements for assisted livings. And read it. Don't just take the marketing materials and take the tour. Ask for an actual agreement so that you know what you're signing. And then once you're admitted and you move into a nursing home or if you're in assisted living, participate in your care plan. In nursing homes, every 3 months they have a care plan meeting and they discuss your situation, your treatments, your orders. And that's the time to sit down at the table with your care team and include your family and discuss, what you're going to do for the next 3 months. But you can also, you don't have to wait 3 months, but it's very important to participate in that. It seems that a lot of the individuals that I work with don't participate in their care planning process, and so they don't even know what their treatment orders are. They don't know why a medication was changed. Ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask to be able to talk to your doctor. And so being as involved as possible in the care process is very important because it's your life. You're the one who should determine what your care needs are and what your preferences are and let them know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what if somebody's not able to make decisions about their care for themselves?
Certainly.
There are,
we call them substitute decision makers or a legal representative, and there's generally for healthcare or financial. And
is that the same as a power of attorney?
I'm going to get there. Power of attorney is the least. Yep, that's okay. A power of attorney instrument is the least restrictive, other than just saying, making your own decisions. And you need to be of a sound mind at the time that you designate if the person is called your attorney in fact. Say it's for financial, and you want your daughter to help with your finances, maybe to pay your bills, pay the nursing home. You have a legal document drawn up, and it's basically an agreement between you and your daughter, and you're designating her to be the person to help you, your attorney in fact, and she has the power of attorney instrument. And so there's a lot of different things she can do for you, and it's outlined in the power of attorney. In Iowa, and I know some power of attorney laws can vary from state to state, but generally a power of attorney for financial is in effect immediately. But the thing to know about that is you can withdraw. You can remove them as your power of attorney pretty much at any point. Then when you go over to the healthcare side of the power of attorney, in Iowa anyway, there's generally a line that says this instrument is only in effect when at the belief of my physician, my primary physician, I'm not able or capable of making my own healthcare decisions. And so when I go into a nursing home and I'll have a daughter call me and says, I'm my mom's attorney in fact for her healthcare power of attorney, and I'm just going to refer to them as power of attorney. It's what most people know them as. And I want this or this to happen. So I go in and I talk to the resident first to make sure that they want me to help them. And they say yes, and I look in the chart, and sure enough, there's a healthcare power of attorney in their document in there, and it says, only if my doctor says I need this assistance. But if there's no statement from the doctor, then it's not necessarily enacted. So just because you have it sitting there, it doesn't mean that it's enforced. So you need to have a doctor's statement that says, Betty Jo, in my opinion as a doctor, is unable to make these decisions for herself and needs to have her power of attorney enacted. So a lot of times people will do the paperwork ahead of time, and it's kind of a standby. I mean, my parents, my dad has a power of attorney for health care made out that I will be that person at such a point that he needs me to be, and my sister will help him with finances. But at this point, he doesn't need our help, but he has it sitting there, so just in case he needs the help, then we can step in and help him.
Right.
So that's a wonderful thing to have.
Yes, absolutely. And I have had people come on and talk about that in the past, and I'm going to have an attorney come back on to talk about that in great detail, because
I think it is so important.
We need to keep mentioning it.
It's very important. And we get a lot of phone calls from people from, say, a facility saying, I have a resident here who doesn't have any family to help her. She doesn't have a power of attorney, or say she has advanced dementia now, didn't have a power of attorney in effect. And generally, and again, I'm going to say that in Iowa, just because that's what I'm familiar with, and just, you know, for disclosure, I'm not an attorney, didn't play one on TV, and I didn't even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But so then generally what needs to happen then is you have to have a court appoint guardian for financial, or a guardian for healthcare, or a conservator for financial. And that's a court-appointed individual. So the resident it basically loses their choice at that point. And so that's why it's nice to determine ahead of time, you know, who would I want to make decisions for me? And when I say choose wisely, because they're going to be making decisions for you, and make sure they understand that they're supposed to make decisions based on what you would want, not what they would want.
Right. Okay. So Kim, we're going to take a brief break. Okay. So stay on the phone, because after the break, we're going to come back, and there are a few more questions. And also, I want to give listeners a chance to call in if you have any questions. Give a call at 855-345-4720, or send a tweet to MARAEK, or an email to drmara@drmaracarl.com, and I'll read the question over the air. Okay? So we'll be right back, Kim, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com. Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I'm speaking with long-term care ombudsman of the Iowa Department of Aging, Kim Weaver, about the very important long-term care ombudsman program. So, also, I want to let listeners know there's still time for questions or comments. So you can give a call with your questions to toll-free 855-345-4720. That's
855-345-4720.
Okay. Okay. And we are back. If you were wondering what happened to us, we lost our internet connection for a little while, but we are back and we're getting Sandy back on, Kim back on the phone. And so just hold on for just a moment. I'm going to put a little music on and we're going to be back on in just a moment. Karpel.com. And if your computer went silent for a little while, that was not your computer. We were knocked off for a little while. That's the beauty of modern technology. And again, we're taking your calls, 855-345-4720, or your tweets or emails, tweet M-A-R-A-E-K, or email Dr. Mara at drmarakarpel.com. And I have Kim back on the phone. Hey, Kim.
Hey.
Are you there?
I am here.
About that, we got knocked off, so we're back.
Oh, that's okay. Not a problem.
So we were talking about residents' rights.
Yes. You know, and people don't understand that they have a lot more rights than what they realize, such as a right to privacy, a right to choice, having access to a phone and being able to make phone calls in privacy. And mm-hmm. So the federal rules show that there's a lot of rights that people just don't quite understand, to privacy, dignity, respect. And, you know, it's supposed to be a person-centered situation, and that people are supposed to let their caregivers know what they want, and the caregivers are expected to honor those wishes as much as possible. In Iowa, as an example, with the Ombudsman's offices, I had already explained that at times we will advocate for something that someone wants that, you know, maybe their doctor doesn't agree with, or perhaps the care provider doesn't agree with. An example would be, say someone has a stroke and they have a swallow study done and they recommend that the individual eats pureed foods. Now, I don't know about you, but I almost feel like I'd rather starve than eat pureed foods forever. And so there's some individuals that basically just say that, I'm not going to eat pureed foods. And so people have a right to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to eat regular food. And I'll go in and I'll advocate for that. Another thing that we're really working on educating providers as well as families and residents and tenants, particularly residents in nursing homes, is the right to be free from restraints, and that includes chemical restraints such as psychotropic medications. And there's a big push through the federal government to reduce what's called an inappropriate use of antipsychotic medications, especially in individuals with dementia. As I'm sure that you know, being in the field that you are in, probably see a considerable amount of that. And, you know, we really try to educate people that if your doctor decides to recommend a new medication, ask questions. You know, what are the side effects of this medication? And you can say no. You can say, no, I'm not going to take that medication. Granted, I can support your right to do that, but I can't take away the consequences. So you may decide, I'm not going to take my heart medication. And we'll advocate for you to have that right to make that choice, but we can't take away the consequences of maybe you'll have heart problems because you don't take that medication. But we're very, very choice-driven as ombudsmen. And at times, even family members will call and they won't like what I have to say because I'm there to support the resident. I'm there to support their mom, especially an example of diet. You know, mom's a diabetic, doesn't eat what she's supposed to, or she's on a low-salt diet, but she still puts salt on her food. Well, just because you go to a nursing home doesn't mean you lose the right to make some bad choices. How many of us, you know, follow everything we're supposed to do? Not many.
Right. Well, I have a question about that because sometimes I have been called in by the Adult Protective Services to evaluate if somebody has the capacity to make the decision for themselves if they're making a bad decision. Does that ever take place? That, you know, for example.
Well, it does, but you know, so you're in Iowa at least. If somebody goes to, say, a guardianship process because it's been determined that maybe they can't make good decisions, and I'm talking life-threatening decisions, maybe they have advanced dementia, and they walk outside bare feet in the middle of winter. Generally, a medical doctor submits a report or perhaps you submit a report, and the court may determine that this individual needs to be court-committed to a nursing facility. Well, then if it's a court order, they have no choice. Generally, where we end up with protective services is if someone's still in the community, not so much the individuals I work with since they're already under care.
Right. But in a situation like that they come to you and they say, well, I want to be able to walk outside in my bare feet, and it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, and the person obviously has advanced dementia, then the reaction will be a little bit different, I would imagine.
Definitely. But the thing is, too, unless there's some sort of, you know, court process that has determined it, you know, in the United States, we value our freedoms very highly. And I appreciate that, and I'm sure you do, too. And so, you know, one person, you know, saying she shouldn't do this may not mean that maybe we don't like it, but it's not endangering her. So sometimes I kind of wonder if, you know, maybe people make bad decisions when they're 40, but then when they make them when they're 70, the exact same decisions, we look at it differently just because they're older. And, you know, just because you're older, it doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing or you can't make a good choice.
Right.
But in a situation like that, definitely, but there needs to be a court process, and there's you know, safeguards in place with guardian ad litem and attorneys that represent them. And so I'm thankful that there's a process, but it does happen.
Right.
There are times when people don't realize that their dementia is such that, you know, they shouldn't be driving anymore, or they shouldn't be even living alone in their own home.
Right. And absolutely. I mean, in the situations that I'm talking about, they, you know, they needed to have a legal document showing that the person could not make those decisions, and that they were, you know, very often I found that people were making bad decisions, but they were competent to make those decisions.
Right. I joke when I do residence rights training in nursing homes for staff, and I'll joke, I'll say, okay, show of hands, how many people, if you're given a 14-day supply of antibiotics, always take the full 14 days? And, you know, of course, the nurses raise their hands. The rest of us chuckle, and I say, that's why I really would prefer the 5-day VPAC over 14 days, because, you know, we don't always do what we're supposed to do. Our doctor says, you know, you really need to lose 10 pounds because your blood pressure is a little high. How many of us do that? And why is the choice different just because we're 70 versus 50? You know, people, my grandmother was a brilliant woman, and she had had a couple of small strokes or TIAs, and she had difficulties making good decisions and did end up going to a nursing home. And she had a PhD in English, and she was an English teacher and very fluent. And it broke my heart to watch the staff people talk to her like she was a 5-year-old. And she would look at me, and I could tell by the look in her eyes that she was just thinking, boy, if they got close enough, I'm going to clock them on. But you need to respect the individual. And just because they're older and maybe can't do everything for themselves, they're still a vibrant, valuable human being, and we need to stop and remember that.
Yes. Yes, I think that that's a very important message. It needs to be repeated over and over again because people tend to forget it.
I agree. And when I do the trainings, I give a suggestion that, you know, every time they come to work, they should maybe try to learn just one thing about one of the individuals they work with. I love it when I go into a nursing home and I have time to just sit and talk to people, and they tell me their stories. I had a woman tell me about how she drove back from California in the 40s all by herself because her husband was in World War II. And she just, you know, all the different stories that they have. And I tell them that learn one thing about them, because if you start to know them as a person, you treat them more like people. And not just, you know, a checklist on a task sheet.
Definitely. Definitely. Very important. It's nice to look at the pictures, too, of when they were younger, so that you can really see that this was a young, vibrant person.
Yeah, they were my age at one point, or they were a young mom. And it is fun, and it's good to know those stories, those things
Absolutely.
About them. It's, you know, obviously they may choose not to. Some people are more private than others, but people get lonely in nursing homes, and they've lost a lot. They've lost their mobility. They've lost their health. Maybe they've lost their spouse or their home. Everything around them, everything they own in the entire world has been condensed down to a 10-by-12 room.
Yeah, it's a big change. So, Kim, I did receive a question online.
Sure.
And the question is, what are the charges for the help of an ombudsman?
Free. That's the wonderful thing.
Free.
You pay for us through your tax dollars. We receive federal funding, but we also receive state funding. And so it's a service that at least as far as I know in every state is free. It's
right.
It's your right. That's something that we deem as important. So it's free.
That's great. That's great. So how can people find their local long-term care ombudsman and wherever they are?
Sure. The National Long-Term Care Ombudsman Resource Center has a website, and it is LTCOmbudsman with an A, .org. And up on the, when you go to their front page, up on the upper right-hand side, it says locate an ombudsman. And you just click on that, and then you click on your state, and it will take you to a page that gives you information about how to contact your local long-term care ombudsman.
Okay, and I will post that on my website so and on Facebook so people can click on it if they weren't ready with a pen and paper.
Sure, and in Iowa, it's Iowa Aging. .gov, and then you can go there and just click on our link and find us, and they'll direct you to the person that can help you.
Okay, great. So that's LTC Ombudsman, ombudsman.org.
Correct, .org.
And iowaaging.gov.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And I'll post both of those. And I think this was really important information. So thank you so much for coming on the show and being patient with our technical difficulties.
Not a problem. I'm glad I could help. I really enjoy what I do, and it's, I believe it's an extremely valuable service for people.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I can say that from personal experience. So thank you so much again. I'd love to have you come back on the show at some point in the future.
Sure.
And maybe I will see you again here on South Padre Island if you come down to
visit.
Well,
that'd be nice. I think Mom would like to go back there again.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, you have a good evening.
Yep,
enjoy
you too.
The
Thanks for having me on.
There. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to take another brief break. And after the break, the founder and director of the very cool and interesting global media project, One Day on Earth, will be joining us, Kyle Ruddick, along with Aaron Hartwell, who is coordinating the local One Day on Earth here in the Rio Grande Valley. And later, jazz saxophone player Paul Klempera of Manteca Beat will be joining us. So come right back.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpel.com. Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Mm-hmm. cricket flying so high now shows a man where to fish. Watch Vicente, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I'm going to talk for just a few moments longer about what I was talking about earlier, which was how to deal with a bad day as a caregiver. So I had given five different steps in starting to turn around your bad day. So number six would be to make personal declaration, and that would be to think about this, the following statements, self-statements, and decide to make them a part of your daily life. So the first of the six statements, taking care of myself is necessary if I am to give care to others. The second, I know my own limitations and strengths, and I seek help when I need it. Very important. The third self-statement to decide to make a part of your daily life, I have the right to feel what I feel and to express those feelings in a calm manner. Fourth statement, I maintain the right to my own life outside of caregiving. Now, that's a really difficult thing to do, but it's extremely important to prevent burnout and to make sure that you are still there for the person that you're caring for. The fifth statement, I take pride in my accomplishments and in the courage it takes to perform those tasks. The sixth statement, I realize that I cannot control the happiness of another person. I cannot fulfill all of his or her needs. No one person can. And the last statement, I have the right of choice to decide what I will do and will not do. And this includes the right to not be manipulated by anger, fear, or guilt of my loved one. So these are very important self-statements to make a part of your daily life. And then finally, as I always come to on all of my suggestions about preventing burnout or dealing with anxiety or preventing stress, and that is learn to relax. So here's some ideas for relaxation. Keep a journal. That can be very relaxing because it helps you to have an opportunity to vent some of your feelings. Put on a favorite piece of music or listen to a CD or a tape of nature sounds. Meditate. And that's very easy. All you need to do to meditate is something as simple as focusing on your own breathing, noticing when you inhale and when you exhale, and as you inhale, say silently to yourself, I breathe in, and as you exhale, say silently to yourself, I feel peaceful. That's all it takes. And that's just one form of meditation, but that's just a simple form of meditation. And just you can do this for 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes a day makes a huge difference. Also, think back to when you were a child. What were you interested in? And go to the library and get books on that subject or read up on it online, or start a new hobby, painting, drawing, playing an instrument, exercise. Exercise is very important to help with relaxation and reducing stress. So take a walk in nature for a half hour. Just doing that. Walk on the beach if you're here in South Padre Island or near a beach, and this can dramatically shift your perspective. Use respite services. And I'll say that over and over again. Use respite services. Ask somebody to help you if you're feeling burnt out so that you can take time to go for a walk on the beach or get together with some friends. And be proactive. That means taking action before it becomes necessary. So look for opportunities for support. Take some time for things you enjoy even before you start to feel burnt out. And ask for help whenever you need it. And prioritize your needs. Since you can't do everything that you'd like to do, you need to choose what's most important to you. So, for example, if exercise means more to you than meeting a friend for a coffee, then exercise and hold off on having the meeting with your friend. But you need to do something to help yourself and to take a break and to reconnect with who you are as a person, not just being a caregiver. So I'll leave you with that, and we are going to go to Kyle Ruddick, who is on the phone, and he's joining us from California. He's the founder and director of the Worldwide Media event, One Day on Earth, and he's going to talk to us about this great project. And again, if you have questions, give a call at 855-345-4720, or send an email or a tweet with your question to MARAEK is the Twitter account, or email drmara@drmaracarpell.com, and I will read your question on the air. So welcome, Kyle.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Good afternoon.
How are things? Good afternoon. How are things over there in California?
Things are great. Busy even on the weekends this weekend. So we're we're only a little less than a month away from our next filming event, and things are buzzing.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about One Day on Earth and what it's about, and also how it began, because I think in doing a little reading about it, the roots of this event are quite interesting in addition to what it actually is.
Sure. I had an idea back in 2008 to do a global participatory media event where the concept was, you know, how could I get as many people across the world to film during the same day and make a film about that documentation? And it was a really big idea, but it was something that everyone I told really appreciated. So it started to grow and grow, and after a number of years of really, you know, putting a lot of effort into it, we managed to film in every country in the world in 2010. That was
wow.
With the help of, thousands of people across the world, you know, over 60 partnerships, including the United Nations. And we built our own online platform that was sort of like a miniature social network to keep everyone connected, and also to recognize everyone's contribution. Everyone's contribution got geotagged to a global map, and that map is still online. But the reason I'm talking on the show today is because we're now focusing much more locally. And we've done that global event several times now. And we got an opportunity last year with some grants. We're a 501c3, and we got several grants to focus our project locally. And the idea was, you know, let's document different municipalities and metro areas across the country in a one-day filming event and, you know, focus on the future of those areas. So what we've done is we're doing 11 communities or metro areas around the country, and the Lower Rio Grande is one of them. And we're doing
we're doing
a simultaneous filming event on April 26th. And I think the Lower Rio Grande is really interesting because it's sort of an emerging, changing location with several cities combined into a community, more or less. And a lot of the other places across the country are, you know, like New York City and Detroit and San Francisco. And so this is definitely one of the more unique places that we're doing the event this time.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's April 26th?
April 26th, which is a Saturday, and anyone can film. You could use your cell phone. You could use your professional video camera. There's going to be professional local filmmakers in the area participating, but there's also a lot of people who just have great stories, and everyone who participates can upload their documentation of that day through our website. I think it's one day in lrgv.org. I'll double check that while we're on the air here, but it basically will.
Well, we actually have Aaron here. We have Aaron Hartwell right here, so she can definitely
That's actually really good news because Aaron is really the person who's making everything happen down there, and you know, I'm founder of the larger older project, and she's running with the ball in Texas right now.
So, Aaron, welcome.
Thank you, Mara. Thanks for having us.
And is that the correct web address that Kyle just gave for the Rio Grande part of this?
It is. It's www.onedayinlrgb.org.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Aaron, it'd be great if you could talk a little bit about some of the partnerships and the people you've been working with around the area, because I know I hear about it, you know, every couple of days, and, you know, it'd probably be good to share some of the people that are planning on to participating in the project already.
Sure. We've pulled on over 30 partnerships in the Rio Grande Valley with several nonprofit organizations. Some of these organizations are working specifically in maybe housing development, others in areas of in city relations, transportation, public safety, disaster relief, others in education, lots in environmental, in ways of environmental issues and impacts. And, you know, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I went to a rally that had a good handful of these grassroots organizations working together at the 11th annual Cesar Chavez Immigration Reform Rally. And, you know, the people that are part of these networks and part of these organizations are they're ambassadors of their own within the organizations that have these messages that are so compelling. And really, the reason why One Day on Earth is so amazing is because we get to work with some of these people and help share these messages with the world. And yesterday was just a good example of how some of these organizations are working together to make sure that the betterment of humanity even is happening.
Yeah, I think that one of the exciting things about the project is that, you know, we become a lot of people. The reason that we have so many partnerships with it is because anyone who's a stakeholder in the future of a place is really a good fit for this. And that can be just because you have a family here, you have a job here, or, you know, we're all citizens of our respective communities. And I really hope to, you know, definitely put the invitation out to anyone out there who, you know, cares about something, some issue, no matter what it is, in that area, and they can really take some time to think about, hey, you know, if I spent a little time that Saturday documenting this, and that could be something to do with your family, it could be something to do with the environment, it could be something to do with immigration. There's the list could go on and on, and I think that you know, our hope is to really sort of get a broad cross section of viewpoints, and that, you know, to create that map. At the end of the day, that will show a bunch of different videos made across the valley, and mm-hmm. I think that you know, and from there, one thing that should be mentioned is everybody's video is also submitted to us, and we're making a series for public television out of all of this.
There's definitely
a lot of exposure if someone was really just dig into a certain issue, you know, and we definitely think that the issues down in the lower Rio Grande are important and interesting. It's quite a diverse community down there.
Yeah, and I just want listeners to have, you know, clarified exactly what's going to happen on that day. So it's 24 hours, and
mm-hmm.
people can submit videos that they make, and they can be, you know, an hour long or, you know, however long.
Well,
they don't have to be 24 hours.
Right? No, definitely not. That's a good point. The way this works is that we always sort of encourage people to do what would be best for them, and different people have different capacity with making video. You know, the best thing would be to submit a couple-minute edited piece. You'll have a whole month to upload your video from that day. But the only rule is it has to be filmed that day.
So the film has to take place on April 26th.
That's correct, from midnight to midnight. And there's no real limitation to the amount of video you might upload, but we kind of encourage people to think about putting their best foot forward. You know, what's the best clips you could share? What's the best selections you could share? And I think that's just better, because ultimately when you're seen and being judged on what this is all going to end up on the website, and you know, you want to share what the coolest thing was and what the most impactful thing might be. And so the only caveat I would add is that we're partnered with Vimeo, which is a professional video sharing platform, and that the only limitation you might have would be your Vimeo account. You know, you could put as much video up there as you want, as long as your account will hold it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to have people all over the country doing the same thing on that one day.
That's right. We've got you know, a lot of big cities, like I said, like New York, San Francisco, Atlanta, Detroit, New Orleans, and you know, places like the Twin Cities area and the Lower Rio Grande of Texas.
Okay, so you've chosen particular places for this one this year.
That's correct. I mean, the way that we think about this is that we want you know, this is a unique place down in Texas, where it's a community and it's a changing community. It's right on the border. There's a range of issues here. There's also, I think, there's a sense to me of an emergence there with a new university, with some of the things that are changing about transportation. I would say in some ways of how fast McAllen has grown. You know, the whole area will look a lot different, I think, in the next 20 years. And that kind of brings up a point, is that this is really about the future of each area. And what we did is we created 10 creative prompts, 10 questions, and they're really just jumping off points. And those 10 questions are on our website, and we use those as people think, well, what am I going to film? What am I going to do? Well, if you look at those 10 questions as jumping off points of what you could film, I think you could find some really interesting topics in your area.
Okay. I mean, this sounds really interesting. And then you're going to put it all together, and then people will be able – when can people actually see the finished product of this?
The archive, which is like, you know, the digital piece, will be growing as people upload video on a day-to-day basis. So that will be, you know, putting different points on the map, and you'll be able to see who filmed what. But the TV show will be available in the fourth quarter of this year.
Oh, wow. And that's pretty fast.
It is fast, but we're fortunate enough to have a little bit of a post-production budget in place with our grants, and you know, we want to get this out for people to see, you know, in as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. So, again, the website for people to go to for the main website for One Day on Earth would be?
Yeah, it's onedayonearth.org, but I really recommend actually going to www.yourdayyourcity.org, and you can see all of the cities across the country for participating in this project. And you can also see where, if your city may not be in one of the areas that is participating, you know, there'll be opportunity for future events to happen.
Okay. So yourdayyourcity.org.
That's correct.
Okay. Or onedayonearth.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, Aaron, the Rio Grande Valley website?
That's www.onedayinlrgv.org.
One day in?
LRGV.org.
Okay. LRGV, so Lower Rio Grande Valley.org.
That's right.
Okay, great. So I'm going to post this on my website so people can click on those links later this evening if they're not near their pen and paper right now to write it down. And people can see how they can participate or watch the finished product. It sounds really
great.
Kyla, thank you so much for joining us. I think this is going to be really interesting to see how it all works out, the process and the product.
Thank you so much. I mean, I just had some fun ideas, and really the people around the world and the people in Texas there are helping making this thing happen. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And you have a good night, and good luck with all of this.
Thanks a lot. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, stick around. After the break, jazz saxophone player Paul Klimpera of Manteca Beat joins us from Austin, Texas. So come right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock. Teach his tourists how to live, and he knows how to live.
years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaricarpel.com. And you're listening to Paul Klemperer, who is joining us from Austin, Texas, musician and jazz saxophone player of the group Manteca Beat. So, Paul, are you there with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
We're just listening to your song, I-10.
Yeah, I heard that in the background there. Modern technology is amazing.
That's right. So how are you doing? How are things up in Austin?
Great. We just finished South by Southwest, you know, and picking up the pieces of our lives and getting on with making music. And
right.
As they say, we're all too busy playing music to play any music. That's how they say up there.
Okay.
But life is good.
That's great. So you were busy performing at South by Southwest?
Yeah, I guess the point of that saying that was that, like, there's all these things that happen and they're all music related, but it's like a big circus, and then dust settles and then you get back to playing your regular shows and teaching and all the music projects we do on a day-to-day basis. You know, for a little while it's all bells and whistles, then it's back to work. But
oh yeah,
the day-to-day stuff up here is good too. I'm involved in a lot of music-related projects that involve teaching, performing, composing, recording, and Austin's a great place to do all that.
So why don't you talk a little bit about your musical history first before we get into that part?
Sure. Well, that Manteca Beat project is a good example. I started it after I had been playing blues and jazz and popular music for a long time, and I struck out on my own. I was doing my own band, and I was trying to find a filter for the saxophone, because as a sax player, it's easy to get, you know, you're typed as a jazz player. A lot of my music was blues-related, and then it also crossed over into a lot of traditional genres, and so I found Manteca Beat was the best filter for all of my different experiences. And it's American
mm-hmm.
music. I really consider it Americana, but Americana, you know, it has that whole guitar, rock, folk kind of connotation. And I think
right.
of Americana more as like all the music that makes up the American soundscape. There's just so much of it, and it crosses a lot of genres. And so I was trying to do that with Manteca Beat, to like have a classic approach, so it's songs that people know, but it covers a lot of ground, from blues to jazz to Latin to folk music to old rock and roll, rhythm and blues. And so that's the idea of the project, and it also kind of reflected where I was at with my life. That was about 15 years ago, to like pull it all together
okay.
and be able to say, I do all of that, and it's not schizophrenic. It makes sense. It's all part of the same thing,
okay.
the American musical soundscape.
So Manteca Beat has been together for 15 years?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess my personal history, when I was in Austin in the 1990, I joined Marsha Ball's band, and a
uh-huh.
great blues band. And so I spent most of the 90s touring. And then about 97, I figured it was time to get my own project going. That's really when I
mm-hmm.
started putting Manteca Beat together.
Okay.
And it's just taking shape.
So what are you guys doing these days? Are you performing a lot with the group?
I do. I mean, like most musicians up here, if you do perform, you have to play the bar gigs, private parties, and then whatever else you can create. So
right.
those are the three areas. So the Manteca Beat, as a bar band, it's fun because I can play a lot of different styles for different people, and I find that, you know, Austin has grown so much. There's a lot of different demographics overlapping, and it's fun to be able
mm-hmm.
to touch on all of that. And then I do play, like, you know, the private party, wedding circuit, corporate parties, and all that. But then I'm
uh-huh.
also producing shows and trying to put it out as sort of reflecting where America's going, which, you know, without getting political, to sort of say that America, you know, has such a broad, blending of different groups, different generations and ethnic groups and immigrant communities, and all of that mm-hmm. is American music. And so I'm trying to, like, use
right.
that take a beat as a way to reflect that. And it's fun because it's like playing music people recognize, but from all these interesting sources.
And, mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been my focus with that, with the band, is just kind of doing musical research and pulling in songs from all these different sources and making them all kind of fit with my concept.
Well,
yeah.
Paul, we're going to take a little break to play another one of your songs. How's that sound?
Okay. Great.
This one is Silver Bird.
Silver Bird.
For that song?
Well, like most of them, it's, you know, romance, either
right.
searching for it or regretting when it's over. So that was like, get on a plane, get out of town. but also, it was great to remember that I got Malford Mulligan to sing, to be the guest artist, vocalist on that.
Mm.
That was a nice part of the project. Was I had special guests on the album, for people that I've worked with over the years. I got to tour with Malford for about a year. And so he said, sure. I invited him to come sing. He was gracious enough to lend his voice.
So how many CDs do you have?
I think I put out 5 of my own. I tried to get one of each representing the different projects. And I have Manteca Beat. I have another world music project called My Exotic Other. And then I also have, like, everybody has to put out a Christmas album or a holiday album, so I have one of those out, and an experimental jazz album. So just to reflect the different sounds, I'm working on some new material, hope to record this fall, some new original stuff. And also, with Manteca Beat, since it is like a pretty wide-ranging project, I covered a lot of the jazz and blues side of it. I want to really record more of my kind of Motown soul-oriented stuff, which I've been writing for a while. I think that will be the next Manteca Beat project. More of a groove to it like that. And I could talk 4 hours about music, so, you know,
right.
don't let me go too far astray. But
okay, well, we're gonna play your third song before you talk for hours. Okay.
Okay.
So this one is called Take Your Time. Carpel and your golden years, and I'm speaking with Paul Klemperer. Am I saying your name right, Paul?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, I think I was kind of butchering it earlier.
No, it's like emperor, I always say,
okay.
At least in my
okay,
mind.
There we go. So, Paul, if people want to hear more of your music, how can they buy your CDs or find out where you're playing? All of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I'm all over the internet, so the easiest thing is just go to my website, tksax.com.
tksax.com. Okay.
Yeah. And that's like I keep adding to that thing and try to make it fun. It's got everything on there. You can also just Google me, and something will happen.
Okay.
And I have CDs available online. I got CD Baby and all those outlets, and or just drop me an email, and
okay.
all the information's there at pksax.com.
At pksax.com, and I'll put that on my website so people can go right to my website and it'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
I guess I would like to say. I mean, part of it is my music. But it's also trying to make the music fun and educational at the same time. That's sort of my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll
okay.
see it on the website. It's like it goes all over the place. But I like to, make it fun, but always, bring something to it so that people come away from the music, maybe a little more sense of history or, maybe how the styles connect from jazz to blues to other styles. So really
mm-hmm.
the edutainment side of it all.
Right. Okay, I like
people
that.
Like to learn, but they don't want to think that they're learning.
Right.
That's the secret. That's
okay. Great. So people can check that out at pksax.com. Thank
yeah,
you so much for coming on the show, Paul, and I look forward to seeing you up in Austin. I'm going to come hear
All
you
right,
play.
All right, my pleasure. Come out to the gig and dance and listen and have a good time.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, you have a good evening.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of the show already. 2 hours have passed by. And before we go, I have Sandy Feet. Lucinda Wierenga is here. We are using her space. We're broadcasting live from the Sandbox Inn on South Padre Island. And I want to thank you, Lucinda, for letting us broadcast from this beautiful location. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the location for about a minute, let people know that it's available to stay in. They want to live a half a block from the beach.
Well, it's always a great pleasure to have you here, Dr. Mara. Thank you for blessing my humble abode. Sandbox Inn is on beautiful South Padre Island, Texas. It sleeps 6 to 8 people very comfortably. Very large, happy place, lots of sand sculpture everywhere. The Sandcastle Trail leads to the Sandbox Inn. And come and stay with me, you can get a sandcastle lesson and have lots of fun. We've got a pool table. It's pet-friendly. And so bring your favorite canine with you and come and let me show you my South Padre Island.
That's great. And let me mention again that Sandy Feet is the sand, one of the sands, the best sand castle sculptures in the world. She is a world champion. So so a sand castle lesson from Sandy is a lot. And let me, before we go, I want to let everybody know what's happening next week, Sunday, April 6th, when I will be back live in Austin, Texas at the Frost Bank Building. And joining me will be sought-after advocate of the elderly in both professional and consumer groups and the owner and director of Hill Country Care Providers, a licensed personal assistance and licensed home health agency. And Jackie Verdun will be joining me live in the studio. And also Austin musician Leslie Powell will be joining us to talk about her new CD. And Laura Gelazunas will report in from the retirement capital south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and more. And you can listen to tonight's program again and read the information from this show and get the links to all the great websites by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel.com. And be sure to follow me on Facebook for all updated information, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Tonight's show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Sonia Das, The Bra Lady, and by Live Oak Legacies, and by the Sandcastle Inn of South Padre Island. And special thanks to my guests, Kim Weaver, Paul Klemperer, Kyle Ruddick, Aaron Hartwell. Thank you, Lucinda Wierenga. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.